entertainment you want, the information you need. Locally owned and operated, we are Real Country, 1430 AM Stereo, WRDN, Durand, Plum City, Elkmount, and 107.3 FM, Translator W297CH, Durand. Real
Coming
Country.
Up next, please stay tuned for It Is Written, presented by Pastor John Bradshaw.
This is It Is Written. I'm John Bradshaw. Thanks for joining me. Prayer is one of the cornerstones of the Christian life. But what if it feels like your prayer life is stuck in a rut? How can you pray more effectively? Now, there's no question God wants you to pray. Paul wrote, "Pray without ceasing." One of Jesus' parables was taught for the purpose of teaching that people always ought to pray and not lose heart. His disciples asked him one day to teach them to pray, and he did. So what is prayer? Prayer is communicating with God, intentionally communicating, entering into closeness with God to tell him what's on your heart. It's opening up your heart to God as you would to a friend. According to the Pew Research Center, 59% of Catholics in the United States say they pray daily. 79% of evangelical Protestants, 69% of Muslims, 43% of Buddhists, and 51% of Hindus. Although, not to be cynical, but you might wonder how accurate those figures are and what people mean by praying. You don't want to pray casual prayers, empty prayers, insipid prayers. Jesus prayed and people came back from the dead. Elijah prayed and fire came down from heaven. And then the heavens opened and it rained for the first time in 3.5 years. Paul and Silas prayed and prison doors opened and their chains fell off. A tax collector prayed and he was forgiven of his sins, justified by God. You want to pray prayers that move mountains. And if not literal mountains, then certainly mountains of difficulty and challenges, mountains of burdens, mountains of guilt or confusion or illness or financial trouble. I'm going to share with you how you can pray powerful, effective prayers. I'll share with you several prayers from the Bible that'll take you deep inside the minds and hearts of people who prayed powerful prayers. So what did Jesus say about prayer? In John 14:14, he said, "If you ask anything in my name, I will do it." Now, that almost seems just a bit too good to be true, as though he's exaggerating. I mean, anything? Well, yes, that's what he says. Except you prayed for a shiny red sports car and you didn't get it. You prayed to go to Disneyland and your parents never took you. You prayed that grandma would get well and grandma died. So what's up with that? Well, here's an important principle. Prayer isn't a magic wand. It isn't a stick with which you beat God to convince him to do everything that you want. God isn't Santa. You don't sit on his knee at the mall and tell him that you want a bicycle and lots of candy and poof, that's that. That's because God knows best. God is all wise. And we don't often ask for things that in the big picture aren't the very best. Wait, not best that grandma lives? Right, I see your point. But let's not forget that if God answered every prayer that people live, you'd have neighbors that are 3,000 years old. And we have to understand that we don't always understand the big picture. God, on the other hand, does. He promises that ultimately all things work together for good to them that love God. So we pray and trust even when we don't get the answers to prayer that we want. Jesus said in Matthew 18, verses 19 and 20, "Again, I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them." That is powerful. And James wrote, "You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasure." You're praying for $1 million and you might not get it because God knows you're only going to waste it. Or it might end up being a curse and not a blessing, indicating that prayer shouldn't be self-centered. Oh yes, pray for yourself, absolutely, but not for selfish personal gain. That cuts against the point of Christianity altogether. When the disciples came to Jesus and asked him to teach them to pray, this is what he said, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. That's what we call the Lord's Prayer, with some versions of this prayer adding, for yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Now, you could choose to pray this prayer just like that, but that's not really what Jesus intended. This was a model for prayer to help spur or motivate your prayers, to have you think about what you want to remember and not forget in prayer. And I want to share with you a guideline or an outline, a method for prayer that I know can help you to jumpstart your prayer life. It'll lift your prayer out of the doldrums, enabling the thermals of blessing to lift you up so that you're not stuck in the downdrafts of life. God wants you to mount up with wings as eagles, and prayer is the key to living that vibrant life. You might be familiar with other methods of prayer, and I'm going to say, use whatever works for you. But praying effective, life-changing, transformative prayers is as easy as 1, 2, 3, 4. And we're drawing from the Lord's Prayer. 1, 2, 3, 4. First, 1. How does the Lord's Prayer begin? Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. We're remembering that the God of heaven is the one true God. One true God. This is where you take time to praise God and to thank God. Praise and thanks are the foundations of prevailing prayer because they put everything in perspective. To whom are you praying? To the one true God. Offering praise to God reminds you just who He is and what He's capable of. And it reminds you how small and incapable you are and how much you need God to intervene in your experience. Praise and thanks are two very different things. Praise is praise. You magnify God because of who He is and what He's like. Who is He? He's the Creator. Praise Him for His creative power, the power that brought the world into existence, the power that gave life to you. David wrote, "Remember His marvelous works which He has done, His wonders and the judgments of His mouth," in Psalm 105. When you pray to the Creator, you have zero doubt that He's able to do anything for you, to provide for you, to be there for you, because He is the Creator. You can praise God for Calvary, for His goodness, His patience, His mercy, His love. You realize quickly that you've got plenty to praise God for, and that doing so gets you out of yourself, out of your own head. You're opening up yourself to the mind of God. He brought down the walls of Jericho. He can bring down the walls in your life. He carpeted the ground with manna. He can provide for you. He brought water out of a rock. He's mighty enough to do what needs to be done in your life. And we're only getting started. 1, 2, 3, 4, prayer. We're not even through 1. Well, what about thanks as well as praise? We'll look at that in just a moment. Be sure you call now and get today's free resource, 1, 2, 3, 4, prayer. This could revolutionize your life. Learn to pray prayers that make an impact, prayers that change lives, prayers that connect you with the mind and heart of God. Call now, 800-253-3000. That number again is 800-253-3000. Or you could text the word free prayer to 71392. Just text free prayer to 71392. You could also request this resource at IIWoffer.com or write to the address on your screen. Call 800-253-3000. Text free prayer to 71392 or request 1234 prayer at IIWoffer.com. This could change your world. Thanks for joining me on It Is Written. Prayer is essential to Christian living. In fact, it's essential to living. But rather than looking at prayer as a duty, it's important to consider prayer a privilege. You get one-on-one time with God, the self-existent one who made heaven and earth. He invites you to spend time with him. Come now, let us reason together, God says. Where Jesus says, come to me and I will give you rest, we come to him today through prayer. Prayer is as easy as 1, 2, 3, 4. What's one? You pray to the one true God. And knowing that, you can pray big prayers because you know that God is big enough. When you pray to the one true God, you pray with praise and thanks, praising God for who he is. Four times in one psalm, the Bible says, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Hebrews 13:15 says, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. And coupled with that, and we're in the one of 1, 2, 3, 4 prayer, is thanks. That one leper came back to thank Jesus for cleansing, and Jesus commended him for that. You have so much to be thankful for. You're alive. You know Jesus. You have health to some degree. Family, friends, work, purpose, good weather, good news, the hope of the return of Jesus, the Bible, church, your church family, food, rest, the list goes on. In fact, it's a good idea that before you pray, you make a list. What am I going to praise God for today? What should I thank God for? Make a list, otherwise you might forget. You don't have to make a list, but you'll find that doing so can be a great help. So remember, one, give thanks and praise to the one true God. So what's the two of 1, 2, 3, 4 prayer? How does the Lord's Prayer go? Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. There you go. Thy will be done. You pray to God according to the will of God. You surrender to him. Surrendering to him is about living your life according to the will of God. In the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus prayed, nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Now, it wasn't just about the cross. That was Jesus' rule for life. Thy will be done is about your life, your actions, your attitudes, the way you conduct your life, the way you relate to others. One thing a lot of Christians fail to realize is that faith in God is about surrender. Romans 6, verse 16, know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. You are the servant of the one you yield to. Enough of living a casual Christian life. We're getting close to the return of Jesus. You want to be surrendered to God's will in all areas of your life. If all you've been doing is going to church to keep up with the neighbors, it's time to turn things around. And God can do that. If you're half committed, not fully surrendered, we're going to change things. Remember, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. So you want to surrender in prayer. I'm praying about whether or not we should get a puppy from that person at work. Good. But you're also saying, Lord, I want you to take my will and blend it with your will for my life. Now, I'll take this further. Here's how radical God is. In Romans 6 and verse 1, Paul asks, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Then he says, God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Instead of being led around by your carnal nature, the Bible says you may be dead to sin, dead to self. Paul wrote to the Corinthians that he died daily. So every day as you pray, let there be a funeral where the old you dies and is buried, and a new you is created to walk with what Paul described as newness of life. You see, people miss this. Faith in Jesus isn't a modification of the old life. It's God's power remaking you in God's image. And that won't happen unless you make the decision to die to the old life and you may through faith in God. This will change your life. And when surrendering your life to God, you want to pray according to the will of God. As you're praying for a raise, you're asking that God's will is done. A raise, good health, your children to marry someone committed to God, good weather so that you can harvest your soybeans. Those things are in line with the will of God for your life, so you can pray with confidence. But when you're praying for your neighbor to recover from ALS, you don't know if maybe God sees it's better that he or she should quickly pass away. You want a vacation in South Dakota. It might be there's a blessing waiting for you in Indiana. You pray that your kid gets into police academy, but you don't know that God may have a different plan for your child and wants him or her working in IT or in ministry. Praying according to the will of God is to recognize that God's way is the right way. 1, 2, 3, 4, prayer. That's 1, praise and thanks to the one true God, and 2, surrender to him by dying to sin and self and asking that God's will is done in all areas of your life. Okay, so what are 3 and 4? We'll look at those in just a moment. Thank you for remembering that It Is Written exists because of the kindness of people just like you. To support this international life-changing ministry, please call us now at 800-253-3000. You can send your tax-deductible gift to the address on your screen, or you can visit us online at itiswritten.com. Thank you for your prayers and your financial support. Our number again is 800-253-3000, or you can visit us online at itiswritten.com. It's so important that if you don't do it, there's no way you'll have eternal life. It's something that confronts everyone frequently, and without it, life simply wouldn't run well. So how do you practice forgiveness, even when you're wronged, mistreated, and hurt? Don't miss Forgiveness, Preparation for Eternity, and discover that the forgiveness God grants you, you can extend to others. Hear inspiring stories of forgiveness and understand how you can forgive under the most challenging circumstances. How do you forgive a spouse, a former spouse, or something that happened years ago that you've never been able to forget? What about forgiving yourself? And how can you be sure to experience God's forgiveness even when you're convinced you've gone too far? Forgiveness, Preparation for Eternity, brought to you by It Is Written TV. 1, you're praying to the one true God, and you pray with praise and thanks. When the armies of Moab and Ammon and others came in battle against Judah, King Jehoshaphat sent the singers out first, who should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army and were saying, "Praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever." And Judah was triumphant. When they led with praise, God worked powerfully. Now, 2, surrender to him. Yield your life to God. Die to sin and self and live and pray according to his will. Now, for 3, I want you to remember 3 important words. In the Lord's Prayer, Jesus taught us to pray, "Give us this day our daily bread." God has asked us to pray for our needs and wants. Now, while you're doing an inventory of what that might be, I'm going to suggest to you that your greatest need is the need of the Holy Spirit. You want God active in your life. Jesus promised you that God would give you the Holy Spirit. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Luke 11:13. The power of God's Holy Spirit in your life has to be your first need. God's presence, power against sin, Jesus living his life in you. Pray for the baptism of the Holy Spirit daily. Now, your daily bread includes the things you need and the things you want. And notice, give us this day our daily bread. That means you're praying not just for yourself, but for others, family, friends, church, work, your community. Remember, you're not an island. Now, you can and should pray for others. Our daily bread. Jesus prayed that God would strengthen him. There were times he spent whole nights in prayer. Notice it was after Peter, James, and John slept and did not pray that Peter didn't have the spiritual strength to admit that he was a follower of Jesus. He didn't pray, and he wasn't able to stand up in the face of temptation. Look at this incredible prayer in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Jehoshaphat is staring down the barrel of an onslaught by enemy armies. He's outnumbered and overwhelmed, and he prays. In fact, he had all of Judah praying. There is power in much prayer. O Lord God of our fathers, he began, are you not God in heaven? And do you not rule over all the kingdoms of the nations? And in your hand is there not power and might, so that no one is able to withstand you? Notice that? That's one. He's praying to the one true God, the Creator. And he's telling God, I believe you are powerful enough to do this. He reminds God that he drove out the inhabitants of the land and gave it to Abraham. Therefore, Judah should not be dispossessed of their land now. He reminds God of the promises God had made. You have promised to hear us and save us when disaster comes. He reminds God that years before, Judah's enemies would have been destroyed, but God told Israel to hold off. Now notice this. O our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power against this great multitude that's coming against us, nor do we know what to do, but our eyes are upon you. Notice this. We have no power against this great multitude. We don't know what to do, but our eyes are upon you. They knew where their hope was, where their power was, not in them, but in the God of heaven. When you pray like that, telling God that he is able, that you are not, but that you are looking to him and trusting in him, great things will happen. Three words, our daily bread. Pray for your needs, pray for your wants, and remember, your greatest need is the Holy Spirit in your life. One, two, three, four is forgiven. Confess your sins and believe that God forgives you. Be specific, be honest, and be hopeful. That's why I call this forgiven and not forgiveness. Because when you ask God to forgive you, genuinely, you should believe that he will. David prayed, for you, Lord, are good and ready to forgive. All right, some quick hits now. Make time to pray. Find time. You can't be too busy to pray. You might need to get creative, but make time to pray. Make a list. Remember, a list of your praises, your thanks, your requests, the things you want to confess. You might want to destroy that list when you're done unless you're keeping a personal prayer journal. Pray your personal prayers privately. Pray big. God is big. Don't pray, if it's not too much trouble, please, would you? There's one Bible story where the king didn't place big enough demands on God and the prophet was upset with him. Pray believing that God is able. John Knox prayed that God would give him Scotland, that is, for Scotland to be won to faith in Christ. Mary, Queen of Scots, is said to have said, I fear the prayers of John Knox more than all the assembled armies of Europe. How often should you pray? Personal prayer with God in the morning and in the evening, both essential. Daniel, the Bible says, prayed three times a day. Bottom line, pray more, not less. True story. A man visited a doctor. He'd seen every other specialist he could find, but couldn't find relief from what was bothering him. Learning that other doctors had tried everything, this one said, I'm sorry, there's nothing I can do. Everything that could have been done, should have been done, has been done. But then he said, you know, I could pray for you. The man responded by saying something like, well, doc, if you think that'd help, you just go right ahead. So the physician prayed and the man went his way. A week or so later, he was back. He said, doctor, since you prayed for me last time, my condition has disappeared. Would you please pray for me again? Now, he had seen 40 specialists. The doctor prayed, and for weeks, that same man came back to visit that same doctor just so the doctor could pray for him. Pray. And remember, one, two, three, four. Pray to the one true God with praise and thanks. Surrender to him. Remember those three words, our daily bread, and confess your sins knowing you will be forgiven because Jesus died for you. And remember that you're not just praying to get your needs met. There's a greater need, and that is learning to know and trust the heart of God, coming into such close communion with Him that whatever happens in your life, you'll trust God, surrendering completely to Him and believing His heart is towards you and that you'll soon see Jesus when Jesus returns. Be sure you call now and get today's free resource, 1234 Prayer. This could revolutionize your life. Learn to pray prayers that make an impact, prayers that change lives, prayers that connect you with the mind and heart of God. Call now, 800-253-3000. That number again is 800-253-3000. Or you could text the word free prayer to 71392. Just text free prayer to 71392. You could also request this resource at iiwoffer.com or write to the address on your screen. Call 800-253-3000, text free prayer to 71392 or request 1234 prayer at iiwoffer.com. This could change your world. Let's pray together now. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the privilege of prayer. And I'm praying that as we pray, we will see heaven come down. As we pray, we'll see heaven move. As we pray, we'll be transformed. And I'm asking that you would draw us to pray, remind us to pray, instill in us a willingness to pray, a discipline to pray, and a persistence in prayer that we will believe that you are able to provide our needs, to provide many of our wants, to do great things in our lives. But also, most importantly of all, to change us more and more into the image of your Son, Jesus. Friend, would you say now, Lord, teach me to pray? Would you say, Lord, call me to pray? That's our prayer today, Father. And we're asking that as we discover prayer is as simple as 1, 2, 3, 4, we look forward to that great day when Jesus returns. And we leave this old world behind and we spend eternity in your presence. Thank you that we can enter into your presence through prayer. Bless us as we do. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you so much for joining me. I'm looking forward to seeing you again next time. Until then, remember, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God.
You've been listening to It Is Written, presented by Pastor John Bradshaw. We hope you have been blessed and that your faith in God has been renewed. Join us again next week at the same time on this station for It Is Written with John Bradshaw. This program was produced by It Is Written, all rights reserved. It Is Written is a faith-based ministry. Thank you for your letters and continued support. For more information, please visit our website, itiswritten.com.
Hello, It Is Written supporters and listeners. Pastor Ivan Remokal here of the Durand Seventh-day Adventist Church. Thank you for supporting our sponsored program, It Is Written by John Bradshaw, here at WRDN every Sunday, 10 a.m. to 10:30 a.m. If you have any questions or wanting to have Bible studies, you can contact me with my number 715-279-4213. Again, 715-279-4213. Also, you can come to our church at W6733 Church School Lane, Durand. Again, our address is W6733 Church School Lane, Durand. May God bless you all.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Tons of sunshine, highs in the mid-80s today with light north winds. Overnight, mostly clear skies, light winds, and lows near 60. Lower 80s Monday, a mostly sunny sky with storm chances Monday night and Tuesday. Grandpa's barbecue sauce made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe. Get yours now at grandpasbbqshop.com. It's 72 at our studios.
It's Sunday morning on Real Country 1430 WRDN. We take you now to 1032 Prisel Street in Durand, Wisconsin for the Faith Lutheran Church morning services.
Good morning. Welcome to worship as we gather together. Today is an exciting day. We get to look ahead at our Vacation Bible School that's happening this week. We get to celebrate with our Luther Park, a couple of some of our Luther Park campers who are going to share a song with us. And we get to bless our mission team for their trip to Denver as we leave next Saturday. So we're glad to be together for worship. I invite you to stand as you're able in body or spirit for our order of confession and forgiveness. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Baptized into Christ, let us confess our sin. Merciful God, you free us to love others, but we neglect our neighbors and follow our own way. You lead us by the spirit of joy and peace, but we turn away from the abundant life you offer. You surround us with patience, kindness, and generosity, but we grow weary in doing what is right. In your mercy, forgive us. Do not give up on us. Heal us, break our bonds, and show us the path of life. Amen. You belong to Christ Jesus, and you are God's children through faith. In the cross of Christ and through the power of the Holy Spirit, your sins are forgiven. Clothed with Christ, you are a new creation. Amen. We'll sing together our opening hymn here in this place. Here in this place, new light is streaming. Now is the darkness vanished away. See in this space our fears and our dreamings, brought here to you in the light of this day. gather us in, the proud and the strong. Give us a heart so meek and so lowly. Give us the courage to enter the song. Here we will take the wine and the water. Here we will take the bread of new birth. Here you shall call your sons and your daughters, called you to be salt for the earth. Give us to drink the wine of compassion. Give us to eat the bread that is you. Nourish us well and teach us to fashion lives that are holy and hearts that are true. Here in this place the new light is shining. Now is the kingdom and now is the day. Gather us in and hold us forever. Gather us in and make us your own. Gather us in, all peoples together. Fire of love in our flesh and our bones. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. O Lord God, your mercy delights us, and the world longs for your loving care. Hear the cries of everyone in need, and turn our hearts to love our neighbors with the love of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. You may be seated, and a lot of our younger people are already here, but if there's any children hiding back there, you can come forward for a children's message, and we'll invite Briella and Roxy to come forward to share a song from Luther Park. You can have a seat for a minute. We're excited, like I said at the beginning, worship, to celebrate the different ministries that we get to be a part of during the summer. Sometimes worship attendance can feel kind of low in the summer because people are busy doing things, but we do get to partner with different ministries that aren't possible during the school year, and that includes Luther Park Bible Camp. So not this last week, but the week before, we had six campers at camp. Some were there for the full week. Some of them were there for a couple days shorter camp. But Briella and Roxy have become like our rock star campers. They go every summer. Which summer was this for you? Third? Third summer together. And so they have a song that they would like to teach the congregation. So come on up. The microphone is live. We're ready. I'm ready to learn. Okay. So tell us what the song is.
Okay, the song is called Blind Man. It's from Bible Camp.
Okay. And so are we going to like repeat after you? Are you going to like say a couple words?
This is a alternate song. So I'm going to teach you the first line, and then just the words kind of change, but it's okay.
Okay. Take one step closer to the mic because we're on the radio.
Okay. So the words are...
Blind man.
Blind man sit by the road and he cries, and then you clap twice. Blind man sits by the road and he cries. Blind man sits by the road and he cries. He cries, oh, show us the way. Show us the truth. Show me the light. The way to go home. So then the second line is, we all sit by the road and we cry. And it's the same lyrics.
All right.
And then the third line is, Jesus sits by the road and replies.
Ooh, okay, we're ready.
Okay, so I invite you to stand as you're able.
Oh, okay. This is an action situation.
Okay, ready?
Okay. Blind man sits by the road and he cries. Blind man sits by the road and he cries. Blind man sits by the road and he cries. He cries, oh, show me the way. Show me the truth. Show me the light, the way to go home. We all sit by the road and we cry. We all sit by the road and we cry. We all sit by the road and we cry. We cry, oh. sits by the road and replies. Jesus sits by the road and replies. Jesus sits by the road and replies. He cries, oh, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the light. The way to go home.
Jesus.
All right.
Thank you so much. We're excited that Briella and Roxy, along with Maria, are going to be our VBS song leaders this week as I play modest guitar for the VBS week that we're excited to join in together. And so, coming off of Luther Park, we head into VBS. Tomorrow we set up, and then Tuesday through Friday we welcome the kids that have registered. Last count was 110 kids, so I'm sure the number has grown a little since then. And we'll be gathering around the theme of True North. And so you'll be hearing more about that during the sermon time today. And then, as I said, that concludes on Friday, and bright and early Saturday morning, our mission trip team heads to Denver for a week of service, where we'll be learning about following Jesus closely. So I'll say a little bit more about that in our sermon as well. But what we'd like to do to kind of conclude our children's message is pray together for the upcoming VBS week, and then a little later in our worship service, we'll be blessing and sending our mission team. So let us pray. God, we give you thanks for the ways in which summer schedule opens up opportunities for different kinds of ministry. We thank you for Luther Park Bible Camp, for our Community Unity Vacation Bible School, and for Youth Works, that we're able to partner with these different ministries and different people to learn about your love for us and what it looks like to follow you closely. So we pray your blessing, especially on those who will gather for Vacation Bible School this week, both as leaders and helpers, as well as the kids who are coming there to learn more about you and to learn about their faith. So we pray that you would bless us with good weather and safety, with curious minds and kindness for everyone who comes through the doors hoping to learn about your love for them. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We'll continue with our centering song.
Birds that are singing in the spring air, they're giving everything they need. They don't worry where their next meal will come from. They don't worry about a thing. So just look around you, try to listen to the song creation sings. Don't you worry, 'cause you're in the hands of the God who made everything. See the flowers in their colorful beauty. They're dressed better than a king. They don't worry about what they should wear, no. They don't worry about a thing. So just look around you, try to listen to the song creation sings. And don't you worry, 'cause you're in the hands of the God who made everything. Because you're not a bird, and you're not a flower. You don't have petals or wings. But there is good news, you're worth so much more. The God who made everything. Just remember.
neighbor. You're not a bird, and you're not a flower. You don't have petals or wings. But there's good news, because you're worth so much more to the God who made everything.
I invite you to stand as you're able as we welcome the word.
Reading today is from Matthew chapter 6, 25 through 33. Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food and body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you by worrying can add a single hour to your lifespan? And why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not clothed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Therefore do not worry, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear? For it is the Gentiles who seek all these things, and indeed your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. What do you think? If a shepherd has 100 sheep and one of them has gone astray, does he not leave the 99 on the mountain and go in search of the one that went astray? And if he finds it, truly I tell you, he rejoices over it more than over the 99 that never went astray. So it is not the will of your Father in heaven that one of these little ones should be lost. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God. Please be seated. When I travel somewhere, I would always rather be a passenger than the driver. And if I must drive somewhere, I prefer to be in the back of a caravan rather than the lead car. So Kendra needs to take a note for our driving coming up in Denver. I'll be following because I have a terrible sense of direction. You can ask Aaron if that's true. He just spent the week with me in Chicago, and he was our main navigator. And he just looked at me numerous times and said, you are terrible with directions. And it's so true. When I lived in Stevens Point in my early 20s, I was actually late for work once because I got lost on the way to work. There's a lot of one-way streets. It was very confusing. And when I worked for Nebraska Lutheran Campus Ministry, I would go around many Sundays to have little temple talks at the beginning of the worship services to talk about campus ministry and raise funds. And one day I got turned around on my way to a rural church visit, and I turned down a road that was a minimum maintenance road. And I learned very quickly that that means do not drive on these roads if it has rained, if it's, a Tuesday, whatever. Like, they are not maintained. And I promptly got my vehicle stuck by a pasture of cows who were loudly mooing at me as I walked my way back to the main road where I could get enough cell service to call Nate to come pick me up. I arrived at the church service just in time for the closing hymn, and had to humbly explain why I was late, gave my little talk, and found a farmer who was generous and gracious enough to use his equipment to pull me out. And thankfully, Nate had also brought me a change of shoes because my dress shoes were never the same. So I'm just terrible. I'm the kind of person who before GPS, before the guided voice would tell me where to turn, I would have to print directions to my trip and also reverse directions to get me back. It's remarkable that I have actually survived this long. So despite my strengths that I have in leadership, directions are not one of them. I'm definitely more of a follower when it comes to traveling. And following is always an act of trust, right? We trust someone to lead us to our destination. We trust Jesus to lead us to God's love. So the only direction that I've ever been sure of in my entire life is that Jesus is my true north. And so I really appreciate this theme that we're looking forward to for Vacation Bible School. True North, trusting Jesus in a wild world. And as I began writing this sermon, I was actually backstage at the final performance of Seussical the Musical, which we did, my daughter Lillian and I performed in last weekend. And I figured at that point, if I didn't know my part, you know, it was hopeless, so I might as well use my time backstage to start working on my sermon. And so I was reading the scripture for today as I was listening to some other performers sing a song on stage that's entitled Alone in the Universe. And it's a duet between two characters, Horton the Elephant and a little Who child named Jojo. Both of them feel totally alone. They sing, I'm alone in the universe, so alone in the universe. But then midway through the song, they discover each other. And then they go on to sing, you called my name and you set me free. One true friend in the universe who believes in me. And I never realized that there were these theological undertones to that song until I was listening to it while reading our scripture reading from the Gospel of Matthew. We who are baptized into the faith, who follow Jesus, can say the same things those characters say, that we're called by name by Jesus. Jesus sets us free. Jesus is our one true friend. Jesus believes in me. Jesus is our true north. And just as theater serves a sort of a brief break from reality, you take on the character that you're a part of when you're on stage, Vacation Bible School serves as a four-day break for the wild world that our kids must navigate. As they gather for the time centered on learning about Jesus, despite the fact that there's a large group and a lot of energy and a lot of excitement and a lot of fun activities, every year there are kids who arrive that feel lonely and lost. And it's these kids who most need to trust Jesus' words from our scripture reading. Jesus says, do not worry. Do not worry about your life. Look at the birds of the air. Consider the lilies. If God clothes even the grass, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you? Therefore, do not worry. As a theme, True North will daily remind kids that they can trust Jesus no matter their circumstances. The daily themes tell us when we wonder, when we feel alone, when we feel powerless, when we need hope, when we need help, we can trust Jesus. Jesus can be trusted with all of our big feelings and our very real needs. And that's true for all of us. Trusting in Jesus is a must in the wild world in which we strive to follow Jesus. And the good news is that Jesus always takes the lead. Jesus can be fully trusted to guide us. Scripture says we need only be willing to seek God's kingdom and God's righteousness, and then our needs will come to light and be met through God's faithfulness. Next Saturday morning, our mission trip team will be here at what time? 7:45, right? All packed up and ready to go for a week of service and learning in Denver. And we'll gather around what at first glance might seem like a strange theme. It's the word dust. But the continuation of the theme is dust. Follow Jesus closely. And the idea is that we are called to follow Jesus so closely that if he were literally walking in front of us, the dust from his sandals would cover us because we were following him and his ways so closely. And what a beautiful image this is as our young people prepare to follow Jesus both at a week of Vacation Bible School and then on a mission trip. The whole of our scripture reading today comes from two different parts of Matthew's gospel, which are not usually put together, but when they are, it's a really interesting understanding of what Jesus is saying. And these two scriptures are shared today because they are the scripture readings that our VBS kids will hear on Friday, on the last day of VBS, when the daily theme is this: when we feel alone, we can trust Jesus. And so this leads to the Bible story, first about Jesus reminding us not to worry, and then Jesus' reassurance of why we need not worry. Because in the second part of the reading from Matthew 18, a shepherd goes to find one lost sheep. leaving the 99 to find the one. And scripture says, it is not the will of God in heaven that one of these little ones should be lost. In other words, God is for us, and us means everyone. And that's what I hope that the kids who come to VBS learn, come to know and believe through the music and the games and the crafts and the Bible study and everything that they experience at Community VBS. And that's what I hope our teenagers will come to know as they experience their time in Denver serving and living for a week together there. Because we who are paying attention to the world around us right now can find plenty of things to worry about, right? For ourselves, for other people, both near and far. And our kids are not immune from worrying about the world that they're being brought up in. Worries don't wait until adulthood, and worries are nothing new, right? There's always something for us to be concerned about. I will say that 5 years in, leading Vacation Bible School for 5 years in the community, and each year being leading the Bible study, which is what I do while I'm there, every year I've heard kids name their worries and their fears. And so as the Bible study leader, it's so heartening that I get to be the one to remind them, and for some of them, to teach them for the very first time that God's love is for them, that Jesus can be trusted, and that following the ways of Jesus, empowered by the Spirit, means that we get to continue believing that we're not alone in the universe, that we're not lost, but always and ever we're beloved by the God who created us, who gave us Jesus, our true north in this wild world that we share together. So may we continue to follow Jesus closely. Thanks be to God. Amen. We'll sing together our hymn of the day, Seek Ye First the Kingdom of God. Jesus, our true north, we lift our prayers for the wholeness of the church, the world, and all of creation. You send your church into the world with a message of hope and peace. Center the whole church in this hope and peace. Guide those attending Vacation Bible School and those traveling for the mission trip. Make them creative and faithful in proclaiming your good news to all they meet. God of grace. All the earth sings out your name. When ecosystems are wounded, bring your healing. Bring relief from the flooding in Texas and the wildfires in California. When our actions endanger the survival of other species, curb our greed and our waste. God of grace. You call us to work for the good of all. Give resolve to those who lead that they may not grow weary in doing what is right. Guide them to seek peace between nations and freedom and justice for all people. God of grace. As a mother comforts her child, so you comfort us. Bring this comfort to those in any pain. Carry your people when grief is heavy. Lift burdens of shame and self-doubt. Bring healing to those we pray for now by name.